don't have many students tonight. Maybe you guys can sit in front. I will go over the homework problem quickly.
Talk about the homework problem in chapter 8.
Fourth lesson is the fourth one, 8.1.
So in that problem, we need to determine if the system is stable, marginally stable, or unstable. So,
as we already talked about in the lecture. Our system can always be represented using the transfer function. We can make this transfer function as this rational polynomial form. So, to determine if our system is stable or not, it only decided by the pole. It has nothing to do with the numerator. It only deals with the denominator. So we make the denominator BS equal to 0, and we solve this equation and we can get our pole.
So the
if all the poles are in the left plane, that means our system is stable. If our pole is on the j omega axis, this is our S plane. It's real, it's imaginary. So if our pulse in this j omega axis, our system is marginally stable.
Take a look at the first one.
In the problem A, want to get this pulse, we can use the MATLAB command. Use this function 173. If we run this command, MATLAB will give our pulse. We have two pulses for this case. -6.54 and -0.459. So both the pulses are in left plane. So that means our system is stable. For the problem B, so here we can easily see this is a complex pulse, right? S² equal to -3, so our pulse will be. That's our pulse. We have two pulses. It's in the J omega axis. So this system is marginally stable. We say this ut minus 10 this function is special, right? Because this function is, it works as a window from 0 to 10. It means for this function, and we choose this part from 0 to 10. That's how ut minus 10 works. So that means if we do the integration of ht from 0 to infinity, we will get from 0 to 10. And then we can remove that part. So, since for the mathematically we know that the integral is the this area, right? The value of this area. So, if we give a finite boundary for this integration area, the integral is finite. So we know this integration is a finite number. So that means our system is BIBO stable. So for the bounded input, bounded output, that means if we give xt, this is our system, and we get yt. If xt is a bounded function, it never reaches infinity. So this yt will be also bounded. And we call this bounded input, bounded output stable.
For the 1 over t,
we do integration, it's just raw entity. So we give the y from 1 to infinity, and log infinity minus log 1. This log infinity is infinity. So that means the whole result is infinity. That means our system is not the IBO stable. Problem C. So by the way, we are in the problem 8.6. So that's our impulse response. So if we do integration for observation value of ht, let's see, this will be our sine 2t, will be something like that. So the for the absolutely value of sine 2t will be something like that. This kind of negative part becomes positive. It will be something like that. So mathematically, we can get that since this integration is just the area, the summation of all these areas, they are positive, so the summation will be infinity, and this integration will be infinity. So we can get our system is not BIBO stable.
What is BIBO?
Bounded input, bounded output. Okay, we give xt, we get yt. That is our system. If the xt is bounded by some values, if our system is BIBO stable, we know that yt is also bounded. It cannot reach to infinity. We call this BIBO stable. And in order to determine this stability, this BIBO stability, we use the integration of absolute value of ht. If this integration is the infinity, it's not BIBO stable. Otherwise, if it's a finite number, it's BIBO stable.
The entity is the impulse response?
Yes. The impulse response. And mention for that they are stable and BIBO stable, they are related but not exactly the same. To determine the stability, we use the pole, location pole of HF. To determine the BIBO stable, we need to determine the integration of impulse response if this is the infinity. We use different criteria to determine this stability and the BIBO stability.
So for the normal stable, like it could be unbounded and still be stable?
I think so, yeah. And we use pulse, the location of pulse, to determine that. Remember the S plane, the del S plane. If we pause in the left, they are stable. Pause in the right, they are not stable.
Now, it's BIBO stable if it's some finite value, right?
For the BIBO stable, we don't care about the. We use this criteria. We just see the integration.
Yeah, and if it's. I was asking if it's infinite, then it's not, right?
If this is infinite,
like it does equal infinity.
The system should in this kind of pattern. So
just say for example, say that wave right there has a decay to it and it decayed to zero. That would be finite and that would make that system stable.
This system, if we for this system, sine 2t. If this system, it should be the marginally stable system, right? Since the Laplace transform of sine 2t is in the this kind of in the j omega axis, so this system is marginally stable. It's not decaying, it just keeps staying here. It keeps staying here and it don't reach to infinity. But if we determine this could be a good example, but if we determine the BIBO stability, it is not BIBO stable. For the stability, it is marginally stable. But for the bounded input, bounded out, the stability is not. So when you deal with the problems in exam, you need to be careful which criteria you are using.
Mm-hmm.
If you see this bounded input, bounded output, you use this integration to determine. If you just mention stability, you can just use the transfer function and use the pulse, the location of the pulse.
So how did you know that one was infinite?
I mean this one is not infinite.
Some of the areas in the curves.
The summation of this area should be infinity.
Rectifies the signal
because
it goes on forever?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It goes on
forever. This is very similar to this kind of signal, like it keeps it fixed already.
Right.
Since the time is the infinity, so area is infinity. We finished some basic stuff, and now let's talk about this.
How we call the Rouse-Hui
test. Thank you. remember, in the first problem, if we want to determine the system stability, we have to figure out all the poles.
Right.
If our system has lots of poles, like 10 or even 100 poles, that's a lot of work. And so that's why we have this kind of stability test. Using this test, we can draw a table, and the computation is much less. So, let's see how to do the first one, problem A. this value is equals this one minus the multiplication of this one times this one over this one. So it will be k plus 200. It's not this value minus 1 times 40k. This one times this one over 30. That's the value here. So, and this one is, for this value is easy, right? But if we do the same thing, this number minus this number 0 minus this number times this number, 0 times something, is all. 0 minus 0 there, still 0. So this is 0. And for this number, we will require this one, this one, this one, and this one. It will be 40k minus 0 times 30 over this whole thing. 0 times 30 is just 0. 40k minus 0 is just 40k. Now we finish the computation. For in the first column, we have this variable k. Our goal is to make all this in the all the elements in the first column need has to be greater than 0. In that case, our system is stable. If we make 30 greater than 0, k plus 200 minus greater than 0, and 40k greater than 0, our system is stable. And we call this the stability test. Got my idea. That's this kind of way. We only need to draw the table. We don't need to solve all this problem. You can see it's much easier than solving this kind of problem, right? Because sometimes this problem could be complex. But here, it's just the multiplication and the subtraction.
Is it always that first column of elements that has to be greater than 0?
Right. The only thing we need is the first column is positive. If there's one element negative, the system not stable. If we found maybe here, if we find this is negative, we just stop because this system is unstable.
You don't have to worry about that one.
Which this is always one. Because here for the third order, this we can always make this as one.
Yeah.
So, in order to determine if it's stable, do you only look at...
We don't need to solve the problem. We can just use this kind of numbers. The size of these numbers, we can determine if it's stable or not.
So, everything in the first column.
Right. So, that's the convenient way. We just draw this table, do some simple math, instead of working with this maybe complex or maybe a very complicated computation.
How did you get the
40
for
instance? Here?
Yeah.
If we regard this as, we call this as C maybe. This number is on top of this 2 and this 2. This 4 number can get this number. So it will be 40k. Minus 30 times 0 over 6. So 40k minus 0 times 30 over C is still 0. That's 40k. So I think we can do a practice for the problem B. I think everybody do it ESC prep paper, and I need one volunteer to do it in the whiteboard. Anybody want to do that? And that's the one.
They want it to be positive, and it wants it to be positive.
Right.
saw it step by step, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to 2 minus 3, k minus 2 greater 0, we can put the 2 cell here and make this part there. We have 3 over k minus 2. In order to solve this, we need to multiply by k minus 2 here and k minus 2 here. But if we even think, because if k minus 2 is greater than 0, we keep this greater, cell greater. If k minus 2 is less than 0, this has to be greater, has to be less than. But from here, we already know k greater than 2. So we can just go ahead and multiply by k minus 2.
Yeah, this is really
this will be
this right here.
This cancels out 2 times k minus 2 greater than 3. Then we have 2 k minus 4 greater than 3, 2 k greater than 7, k greater than 7 over 2. Right. Should be the function.
What are the constraints?
So what's our constraint? This is a fine, right? This is always true.
Mm-hmm.
So this one we have to make k greater than 2. This one we have to make k greater than 7 over 2. Mm-hmm. What's the final result?
Over this one.
k plus 3 minus 3k plus 5 minus 2k plus 8. That's the result. So minus 2k plus 8. And this one we is just 0. So this one 0. And this one 3k minus 5. 3k minus 5 minus 0. 3k minus 5. So our constraint will be 1 greater than 0 plus 3 than 0 3k minus 5 3 than 0. We can get this k greater than 5 over 3. This is k less than 4, right? So that the final constraint will be k has to be in the k has to be greater than 3 over 5 but less than 4 to make this system stable. We need to put this constraint.
He's not going to put one of these on the test, is it? It's too easy.
Too easy. No, yeah, that's too easy.
Depends on his mood, right? If he's happy with you guys, he will give you the question.
I'm not sure
Probably give us something like, give us the stability of a pumpkin or something like that.
Short break, now continue.
But Dennis?
He asked if we ever did.
Like, I had time.
Yeah.
I've listened to a couple of lectures that I missed, but
they
got awful hard to stay awake during it. You know, without actually having the visual stimuli and walking around and this little pointer popping the board or something like that, it's hard to stay awake.
All
they end up doing is ramble into those guys on the front row. I mean, they just get off on wild tangents, but then nothing. They're probably on the phone with them, you know, hey, what did we ramble about? Well, like, I don't know, I did. And he told us it was going to be that way again. That he was going to start rambling a lot with whatever he think he was pointing.
Too much information.
He worked some examples like we did in here, it might actually be helpful. But I mean, nothing even this class is really helpful.
Yeah, say my teachers at a community college were like really, really good.
Overall grade was a C. I got to F. straight. I guess they think it's too easy to cheat or whatever during programming assignments or whatever. It's like that with a lot of the CS courses. Do you know what it's not like that over here? They weren't for labs and other homeworks and everything. You know, but a lot of people would be flunking out.
Oh, yeah. And I can't wait till fundamentals lab is over.
That lab's over. I think it's just the lab report takes forever. Oh, my gosh. A formal lab report for all of them?
Like, Nasser could have warned us about that. Like, it's technically a technical writing practice class built in. Yeah, Roger's my lab partner. That guy J-Hook in our group is like insanely awesome. Like, I don't know what very dumb?
Well, it can swing the golf club. Like, he has a button. You click it and it swings the golf club. Like, he had that done, like, last week, I think. And, you know, he had it to where it would map out the dots, the distances. So we pretty much just have to link those together and make it go around automatically.
Distinct pulse, the latter will be greater than one.
If it is greater than 1, we will have distinct real pulse. So this is, we have to remember that sometimes we need to decide a system is for the first case we call this system is underdamped. For second case we call this critically damped. And the second case we call this over damped. So to see an example in the problem 8.9, we need to decide a system is underdamped, critically damped, or overdamped. Right, need to memorize that. So let's see the first one.
Here,
XS is the Laplace transform of UT. XS is just 1 over S. So that means YS is just HS times 1 over S. We already have HS. And we just multiply by 1 over S. We will get our system output in, but this is in Laplace domain. In order to get this YT, we just do the inverse Laplace transform. Do you follow me? If we want to get the, if we give UT, we want to know the, what is the output for the step, for the step signal. We, if we direct compute this, we will do the, we have to do the convolution. YT equal to UT convolute HT. However, we can, in the Laplace domain, we can use the YS equals, this UT will become 1 over S in Laplace domain times HS. And we already have HS for our system. So we just put our transfer function multiply by 1 over S. And then we just do the inverse Laplace. It's just the partial fraction expansion. For example, let's see the third one.
So the step response is different than the impulse response.
Yes, right. Different. Okay. They remember they have this relationship of this is the impulse response.
Right.
This is the step response. If you do the differentiation, DUT to DT will be HT. They have this relationship. For this the UT, the differentiation are always zero, except at this point. At this point, the differentiation is an impulse. That's the relationship of these two. Sometimes you might can take advantage of this relationship. For example, if you, because when you do the Fourier transform or Laplace transform, sometimes this kind of differentiation is easy to get rid of. If you are given HT, you might can compute UT easily. Keep in mind they have this kind of differentiation relationship. For example, for the first one, our HS is, I think the third one, HS equal to 32 plus 10S plus 16. It will be S plus 2 times S plus 8. And the YS equals to S over 1. 1 over S times HS. It will be 32 S times S plus 2 times S plus 8. We know it can be partial fraction expansion. It can be S C1 plus C2 over S plus 2 C3 over S plus 8. We can get the compute the negative acetyl C3. And after that, we do the inverse Laplace. And we will get yt. This yt is the step response.
So is that technically just the output?
Mm-hmm.
Is that technically just the output?
Yeah, that's the output. The step response is just the output for the if we give the system input as ut. And the impulse response is just the output when we give this delta t as the input. This is the voltage input, and Xt is our voltage input, and Yt is the voltage of this resistor. So, our question is to choose the value. Problem. First, we have to get the system, the transfer function. If we convert this circuit into the S domain, this L is LF. This is become XF. And this C equals 1, so this will be 1 over Cf. And the C equals 1 is just 1 over F. And this R is still up. This Yt becomes Yf. So we want to write down the transfer function. So it's the transfer function is just the
this is the voltage-based relationship, we can, the ratio of this voltage relationship, YS over SS, has just to be equal to the value of the resistor relationship. The resistor ratio can be the whole resistor, this and the total. This way, just this is R, this is 1 over S, the total will be R times 1 over S over R plus 1 over S. This will be the one. This one over this one plus LS. This is the total resistor. This is the this kind of resistor. If we simplify this, it will be 1 over L S squared plus 1 over R plus 1 over L. That will be the our transfer function. So, remember, we just talked about the zeta and the omega n for second order system. H has a function, second order system H has the omega n squared. S squared plus 2 times zeta times omega n s plus omega n squared. We can match this to figure out the omega n and the zeta. The top is 1 over L and here is 1 over L. Omega n squared, so we figure out the 1 over L is omega n squared. And also this kind of rule. Now we still don't know the zeta. For the zeta, if we want to make zeta equal to 1, we can take advantage of this we have to use this kind of formula. In the textbook, zeta equal 1 is a special case. When zeta equal to 1, the 3 dB bandwidth is equal to this value times omega n. So we have zeta equal to 1 in the special case.
You just did the circuit.
Yeah, the Tuesday students already talked about that. They have this textbook have this kind of derivation, like a half page. If you wonder why we reached this result, you can look out that page. The derivation is very, it's clear, but it's kind of tedious. So here we are given the 3 dB bandwidth equal to 20. That means this value is 20. So we can get omega n. And because we have this relationship, we know omega n, and we will know f. And here, we know this zeta is 1, 2 zeta omega n equals 1 over r. If we zeta is 1, omega n we already know, either it has a relationship with L, so we will get R. That's we will know L and R. That's the strategy here. So in details, let's see. This part is in values will be 0.6436 around that. 0.6436 times omega n equal to 20. So omega n value and what's omega n? Omega n 1 over L is omega n squared, right? Omega n is just 1 over L square root of 1 over L. So 0.6436 square root of 1 over L equal to 20. We can compute to get L is 1.036 times this. That's L. And also because this relationship, this that is 1, omega n is 1 over L square root. We already know L. We can get R. That is R. So L is here, R is here. And if L and R have these two values, this we will get that is 1 and 3 dB bandwidth is 20. So the key is this equation. When we give the 3 dB bandwidth under the condition of that equal to 1, you know that bandwidth is just this number times omega. Transform for x is our x input is cosine forming t. Let's have it at t junction ut. We do Laplace transform for the input. We get a capital F. And this h is our transfer function. Hs is our transfer function for the RLC circuit. It has the value of RLC. So after that, we will do the inverse Laplace transform for the x times h. Let's see. We get the Laplace transform of our cosine input is this rational polynomial, right? And also we have this transfer function Hx. Using this tool, we will get y Laplace, so capital Yx. Right. And we do inverse Laplace transform. You will get this is our yt. It turns out it can be greater than 1. You can use this multiple code, you can try different values of RLC to see the output of your system. And I will put this into the class website. Okay. That's it for today. I appreciate you guys show up.
I was afraid
that I was wondering that how many people will come.
It's hard for me to get here on Monday.